pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Good Tuesday morning to you. Thank you for being with us. We always do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. You need to be in touch with the program. You know what to do. Just text me. It seems like we I don't know how much mommy issues today we're going to get, but it always feels like we're going to get too much. Still are coming up on the program, Jerry Carl, some news there, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But he's running for what I think it's the first congressional district, but we just had a ruling from our 3-judge panel of chronic malcontents on that. Sam Roberts from the Colbin Daily, some updated polling data. We're going to get into that with him. And then Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs, our Tuesday regular. We'll get into some of that discussion about what's kind of going on bigger picture at Texas today. We'll see where that is going here. Let's see here. The lower federal court, this 3-judge panel, has ruled that Alabama must use its 2023 maps, I should say. Very exciting times for my Democrat and closet Democrat friends in Alabama politics. But I guess first with it is our friends at Alabama political reporter Jacob Holmes writes this. A 3-judge panel issued a preliminary injunction Monday morning, thwarting Alabama's plans to hold new elections for congressional districts that Republicans believe could help them gain a seat. I suspect that the Supreme Court will, in about a week, toss this out. But they're not going down without a fight here, these guys in this lower court. They really are not. And it's that's just in, though, that I guess as of now, and this is a real mess. Alabama, you got a mess on your hands here. But we are kind of operating on an assumption of an election that we are told, according to the federal courts, is not allowed to continue. What does this mean for the primary? I guess they got to hurry up and move here. The Supreme Court's got to weigh in, or the 11th Circuit's got to weigh in. But essentially they have, the panel said Monday it could not allow the state to move forward with the 2023 map tainted by intentional race-based discrimination. After exacting a review, we conclude that a preliminary injunction must issue. Ultimately, we cannot see our way for clearing to require Alabamians to cast votes in the 2026 election under a districting plan tainted by race-based discrimination, the judges wrote in the ruling. And under the unusual circumstances of this case, we conclude that a limited order requiring the secretary to continue using the court's race-blind maps will not disrupt Alabama's elections. All candidates ran under the race-blind map until 15 days ago, and all voters remain districted under the race-blind map in electoral computer systems. And writes, we reject, in the strongest possible terms, the state's attempt to finish its intentional decision to dilute minority votes with a veneer of legislative regularity. The court is just throwing some punches here. Anna Manasco, Terry Moore? You hear those names, and you're like, how did they get to, one is a Trump appointee. But this is a product. I don't know how these judges got on this court or on this case. All the left wingers are very excited about this on my social media. But anyway, she's a product of the Doug Jones takeover. She was appointed to the federal courts with the approval of Richard Shelby and Doug Jones. So kind of going through this now. This is kind of coming on as we went on air. Stanley Marcus, Anna Manasco, and Terry Moore. Two circuit court judges and a district judge. And they have sided with Democrats on every fork in the road. They have sided with Democrats. Obviously, this will be appealed to the 11th Circuit. If not, I don't know. I guess we got to hear from General Marshall about where this is headed. And it's not. It is not. I'm still skeptical this stands, but we're going back to the old maps for now. That's this three-judge panel. And it's the old AL1. I guess we're going to have a runoff with Rhett Marcus and Jerry Carl with Shamari Figures. Even though Democrats have had qualifying, they've moved ahead. But the war of words here, it's just kind of unbecoming. These judges are supposed to be kind of above the fray here, without casting aspersions, and they use this language. They write it in a way that's very aggressive toward the Alabama legislature. And at some point, I'm just going to call it what it is. I mean, you expect the legislature to engage in this, but they don't even engage in it to the degree that the courts do. But they're political. I mean, they're playing to the crowd. The federal judiciary is supposed to be above all this. And yet they got this, measuring contest with the Alabama legislature and the governor going on here. They got their way on a map that I don't think is long for this world still. And they didn't, they just expected, they wanted to tell you to shut up and like it. That they're circumventing elections here. They're circumventing the will of the people. And they're making this claim about racial intentions here that I don't think exist. So it's going straight to the Supreme Court. That's according to the learned Joyce Vance of the University of Alabama. I think it gets tossed. I think this injunction's out, and I think you still get the new maps. That's still my prediction. And we'll hear from Jerry Carl here in a little while, see what his reaction is. Is he running into Wiregrass? Is he not? Is Rhett Marcus still from Spanish Fort, or is he back from Enterprise again? Unusual. But it's vintage Alabama. So that was kind of coming right out of the gate here on what there is to talk about. But the congressional maps, according to this lower court, it's a three-judge panel that they have somehow constructed, have issued a restraining order against the legislature and all these campaign activities that were engaged in with with the 2023 map, which is kind of like what we have done for the last 30, 40 years in Alabama with our congressional districting. The new one is a one Congress old now, and essentially took what they called was supposed to be an opportunity district, but it was really a D+9 district. So they had a special master draw the maps. But the two problems are here that, I mean, the original sin was sort of the argument that the state of Alabama made the first go around and lost to the Supreme Court. And the second is just getting to draw three judges who are like very, very motivated to make an example out of the state. Three federal judges. They moved in a hurry. My guess was there wasn't a lot of due process here, but they moved in a hurry. This VRA stuff from 40 years ago where the state of Alabama has to pay for the sins of the past, of past Democrats, is obnoxious. But we can talk about that, 251-343-0106. That's the top of the list. Some other things here. We got some polling data. I'll run it by you guys. You can tell me it's a Jared Hudson poll from, well, it's not his. It's a pack that favors Jared Hudson, showing him with a 1-point lead over Barry Moore. 4-point margin of error. Remington Research Group, they're a reputable polling firm. But the poll was commissioned by this PAC that's backing Hudson. So we have Barry Moore, Jared Hudson. Drama there. If you weren't paying attention last week, I don't blame you if you weren't. Jared Hudson put out some kind of social media post about Christianity and, you know, electing someone who practices what they believe. It was perceived to be an attack, a direct attack at Barry Moore. Hudson denied that. That drama blew up over the last few days. Seems to have cooled off. That race is getting a little punchy. A lot of polling I'm seeing now. John Wall's looking good. Wes Allen did get the endorsement of Gene Stallings, a former Alabama football coach, for what it's worth. And Robertson, I mean, Jay Mitchell and Catherine Robertson, that's the other one a lot of people are watching. But Mitchell and Robertson kind of taking a back seat. This runoff cycle is going to, I think, get very aggressive. What will Trump do? Will Trump get involved in this lieutenant gubernatorial election? Or will he get more involved in the Senate race? Getting that question a lot. Please speculate on that throughout the show. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. And I'll be waiting in Jackson behind my J-Pan player.
Here you come again. Just when I'm about to make it work without you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. Tim asked, it just disappeared on me here. 251-343-0106. Jeff, what's your thoughts on the bald-headed brother said they're going to do away with the tunnel? I was listening to that a little bit this morning. like pitchforks and torches the last time they tried to do something like this. Why does everything have to revolve around the Port of Mobile? Why is that like the end all be all? Who was asking for the Port of Mobile to disrupt our lives? I mean, like, the Port of Mobile took precedent over everything else in the gas tax hike. Well, it's supposed to help everybody. It's going to help all Alabamians. And he did this with, like, the Tennessee Tom Bigby Waterway 30 years ago or 40 years ago. Yeah, I guess it was about 40 years ago. Wasn't that going to change our life for generations? Sure, it's not a bad thing to expand the Port of Mobile, but it's always been this to me. Why is the Port of Mobile and expanding and dredging the port a bigger transportation priority than the I-10 bridge, than widening 65, than the Northern Belt line? Why is it the most important thing? Why did Shelby decide for all of us that was going to be more important than any highway project that you use in your daily lives? Are we needing more of these Walmart and Amazon distribution centers? Is that the idea there? But I did hear that. I'm the bald-headed brother. I don't think that's going to go over well, and I suspect that's going to backfire. Mike, I can't say we didn't see it coming. The legislature needed to draw a new map that wasn't race-based like the 2023 map or the court's 5-2 race-based. They need to draw it without race, a factor of 7-0 politically based map. But of course, our legislature is a bunch of spineless pansies. You know, you may be on something here. Because that's essentially the argument. That was the Mo Brooks argument, who's not very good at election politics, but he was right on this one. You have to draw these maps to take all of the racial demographic data out of it. Well, then it becomes just a partisan exercise. And they have to do it with partisan leanings. And they haven't, the people drawing the maps, the special master of an idea where these African-American communities are. I don't think you could draw a map with two Democrat districts without it being minority majority. There's not a lot of white Democrats in Alabama. Or at least there's not enough isolated to one geographic location. Maybe some more high. It's interesting. The most impoverished places and the most affluent places are Democrat, and everything in between is Republican. Which is really convenient when Mountain Brook and Birmingham border one another, I guess. Josh, wow. What are the chances that the three judge panel for Alabama are all social justice liberal Democrats? It's hard to believe, but real. I think at least one's just, she may not even be a Democrat. She's in this, it's like a pissing contest with the legislature. Because they won't take her seriously. They don't take her decisions seriously. The port is the entire local, driver of local GDP. It justifies the infrastructure projects. It was the driver of GDP before it was expanded. But the question, Pete, is, What does the average person in Mobile want? Do they want the port expanded? Or do they want highway and bridge improvements? And I bet if you polled it and took it to a vote, they'd choose the latter. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
La I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Sam Roberts from the Coleman Daily got some polling data. He's been on the field polling nonstop, I guess, since about last month. But we'll hear from him, maybe on some statewide elections and what he sees trending there. And then Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs, our Tuesday regular, will make time for us. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, fresh off this hot news here, but former Congressman Jerry Carl, candidate for the 1st Congressional District, whatever it will be. I guess he is a 1st Congressional District candidate. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just a little confused this morning, but we're going to get this worked out. Do you remember the skit from Abbott and Costello? Who's on first? Nobody's on second. Somebody's on third.
Yes.
That's what this whole election campaign for us as candidates, and we share a lot of information between the different candidates. We've gotten very close, but that's kind of the way we're feeling.
Well, I this is just me talking, but This whole situation, and look, the Alabama legislature is going to do what the Alabama legislature does, but it's a political, by definition entity, but the courts are like way too, I don't know how much of this, restraint temper or this preliminary order you've read, but this preliminary injunction. But it's very like aggressive and a very petty and knick-knacky toward the legislature, and I don't why that's necessary, but it's pretty clear that the tone of the courts here regarding Alabama.
I totally agree, and I understand two of those judges are actually Trump appointees, so it surprises me even more. To add on top of that, you'd think they would be a little more conservative Republican leaning in their decisions, but it's got us in a real bad spot here, Jeff. I mean, we're trying to run a campaign. We don't know what campaign we're running for. We don't know what our districts are this morning. We don't know how to raise money. It's extremely important to every campaign. I can't go back to the same donors if it's what the court says today. I can't raise money based on that. I have to use what I've got left. Most of us spent most of our money before the election. When we were told to quit, we cut it off. It's just mass confusion. But I'll be honest with you, Jeff, it doesn't make any difference what we do, what district we run in. If the folks don't turn out and vote, it's all in vain. So please, I beg the Republican base that can hear you to get out and vote whenever our election is, whether it's in June or whether it's in July.
Let me say this, though. I mean, I don't think we've talked since the election, but you got to feel pretty good about where you are regardless of what happens. I mean, the outcome that you had, and you were massively outspent, you had a good result last Tuesday.
Well, I agree, and I'm very proud of that. In fact, I'm very humbled by that. I mean, some of the numbers we've got, especially out of Mobile, Baldwin County, were just humbling, to say the least. But I can't take that for granted, Jeff. I mean, we're still running a campaign against a pretty darn big machine. So we just got to keep delivering. We got to keep pushing our message. We got to keep doing what we've been doing. I've got two events today. I had two yesterday. I mean, we just got to keep working until we figure out what we're actually running, what district we're running for and in. So, but numbers last week, I'm telling you, just really surprised me. Baldwin County turned out good. Mobile County was absolutely huge. You look at Mobile County last week, we got 74%. in Mobile County. That's crazy. Baldwin County, we got almost 50%. So that's my base. Escambia County, I'm so proud of those folks up there in Escambia County. I mean, they turned out strong for us too. You know, they did 73% up in Escambia County. 73%. So those are pretty strong numbers.
You just got a little work to do in Covington County, right? And then the new parts you pick up if it goes
Covington
that way.
Doesn't know us very well. You got seven candidates. We still did almost 26%. Rhett did beat us in Covington County. And, of course, the Wiregrass, we did okay. We didn't have the money to spend in the Wiregrass, on TV and radio a couple of the other candidates did. They focused on that. And but we're working. We're working with what we have to work with.
Right. Well, you mentioned that you're in this confusion state. What do you do? You're just going to wait?
As far as spending money is the problem. Where do you spend it? Do you spend it in the Wiregrass market where our weakness is at? Or do we spend it in Mobile County because we think it's going to come back to, the four county, the new district? That's the problem with where you spend it. How you raise it is a totally new problem. You can't just, everybody thinks, being in federal election, people can just write you a big check. That's not true. The max amount they can donate is $3,500. So we have to make a lot of phone calls to raise enough for a campaign at $3,500 a pop. So now, if it's the new district, we can go back to our same base of folks that support us financially and get a new $3,500. If it's we go back to the old district, we're limited where we can raise our money because those people have already tapped out or maxed out. And this is just not my problem. This is candidate wide. This is every candidate in this race has got the same. It's the nature of the beast, and we've just got to be smart enough to try to figure it out. The courts, I'm really surprised what came down today. I don't know why. Jeff, I think today I'm gonna go bet on a horse, and you bet on the other horse because your horse is going to win. Because everything I've said about this court system or I thought about this court system has been wrong. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying my interpretation and my opinion has been wrong. Just because the court rules against us, I don't want to throw them out with the bathwater. They do a lot of good things. I want to support them where I can support them.
Well,
I disagree with them on this one.
On this one, though, I mean, I will find out, I guess, in short course, what the Supreme Court thinks. They've already vacated this lower court once.
So how long is that going to take them to come out with that?
Well, it took them like a week last time, remember? Because that's what I would expect, the same timeline. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but they sat
on that Louisiana case for about 10 months.
Well, that was a different, you had a couple of justices dragging their feet, but I think on this one, I think it deals with the actual Louisiana decision, and we'll see. But what I'm told is that yes, the lower court could do this. They didn't think the lower court would. They were wrong. But if they did, they thought the Supreme Court would act swiftly to toss this. But we'll see.
We are still excited. Our numbers look positive. We're positive. We're going to keep pushing. We'll keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is knocking on doors and shaking hands and kissing babies and all that good stuff. And we've still got a strong base out there. We've got a great polling tool. That's what I told everybody. If nothing else from that quote unquote ghost election last Tuesday would certainly give us a great polling tool. So we'll just push on and act like, our election is 15 points behind and our election is next week. I mean, that's the only thing we can do is just keep pushing.
Joined by Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, This is totally unrelated, but I got to get you to wait. The Congressman Figures has, I guess, kind of surprising news, the way this news story calls it, surprising. Talking about removing the Bankhead and Wallace tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of that? I can't imagine that is a very popular thing. But
first of all, that is a state decision that Figures needs to think about. First of all, I don't know why we would get our federal nose involved in that. Secondly, I'd like to see what the numbers are on the old tunnel built back in, what, the 30s? I would like to see what the maintenance fees are on that. I mean, is it still worth the taxpayers' money, but to close both of them and have a toll on that bridge? That, you know, that's where I blew up on the tolling situation. We went to Spanish Fort. Jeff, you were there. In fact, I think it was you I talked to when I walked in. We were there early. And no, it was a guy from DOT. And he says, well, we're going to let everybody know today there's going to be a tolling and there will be no other option as far as using the tunnels. And that's when I went, I'm out of here. I didn't want a part of that. I walked out before the meeting ever started. You can't do that to locals. You cannot do that to our local folks because we all depend on that bridge. We're all back and forth multi times a day. I understand we need a bridge. Surely we're smart enough to figure out how to do it. And shutting those tunnels down, I don't think is an option. Not in my mind.
There's
I don't know why you'd shut them down.
It's like an obsession to, I get it. You want to force everybody on the bridge to pay the toll. But there's this obsession with doing something to with those tunnels to make life. They do it over and over and over and over again.
But I don't understand why you would want to close those tunnels. Those tunnels are extremely valuable to.
Well, their argument is that it would open up the port, the ports above the tunnels more to more shipping traffic.
Okay, so that's 45 feet. We've already approved money. They think those tunnels have sunk lower than 45 feet. And 45 feet is supposed to be the minimum. So we're at the minimum, but they think they have sunk. My real concern is every time I go through the old tunnel, all I can see is leaks. I see, you know, old infrastructure. Now, if that's the case, let's close that. Let's truly do something with it. But the Wallace Tunnel, which it was never named Wallace Tunnel, just for the record, but we all call it that. The Wallace Tunnel is a still good, usable tunnel, and I don't see at this point, place in time, taking it out. I'd like to see the new bridge, the new Bayway built, and let's see what it does for traffic flow. If there's no traffic flow problem, there's a good possibility I would go along with that.
Well, it is. It's just like every few years or so, we get on this kick, and it comes out of nowhere. No, who was asking for this other than the port?
Well, I'm sure the port does ask for it. I mean, it's not the first time it's come up to me, but you know, the port's important in getting a ship up in there. But why even talk? We're 8 years away from a bridge being built. Why are we even talking about taking both tunnels out? It's political. It's election time, folks. It's nothing but a distraction to say, hey, I'm important. If I don't get reelected, this is going to happen to you. No.
Well, what is,
I don't buy into that.
What is the political motivation for closing the Wallace and Bankhead tunnels?
Because he can save it.
You mean save what?
Save the tunnels from being closed.
Oh, well, but he's touting it like... like he's for this.
I don't see that. I mean, if we had the bridge built, we had. I mean, what's the alternative for local traffic?
Yeah, the Africatown Bridge, traffic? I guess. But
that not while we have the tunnel. No, I mean, this is stuff. I could see it. I could see it 30 years from now. I could see it once the bridge is finished and the new Bayway has proved itself. Folks have got to understand concrete has a life of about 50 years. So you look at that old tunnel, you've got some real problems there. The new tunnel, not so much. But 50 years is about the length of time on concrete that was poured at that time. Now we have concrete that can last longer. Salty air, salt water, so on and so forth, affects it in different ways. But closing the Wallace Tunnel, I don't get that. That sounds more like a threat to me.
Well, now, I mean, again, he's...
Going back to the old tunnel, I would like to see some maintenance studies on that.
It sounds like a misread to me because he is, you know, just touting it like it's going to be an improvement.
That I don't understand. I don't know where you would get that from. I you got me on that one. I don't know.
I guess if he's involved and he's talking about this bill, this Build America 250 Act, there's language in there to do this. And it would be, I guess, by decree, the federal government saying this is how we're going to do it. And that seems to me to be something that would fall, I guess, under your purview if elected back to Congress.
Well, I'm not for forcing people to pay a toll, locals. I'll tell you that.
Well, you know the way they did it. We got to wrap it up here. But I went through this. I was in Huntsville on the air, Congressman, when we went through this the first time in 2019, and the governor and, you know, her people were sort of like, hey, you guys in Mobile just want your free bridge to the beach. That was the argument. And no. They were trying to sell it to the rest of the state that way, who, I don't know, maybe go to Mobile a couple of times a year at most, but it wasn't really sold any other way.
So the free bridge to the beach is BS. That bridge is so important from national security standpoint because we're moving weapons and armor from Jacksonville, Florida to San Diego, California, and everything in between. That bridge is going to be a hanging point one day if we don't fix it. If we don't come up with a way to fix that bridge, that is a national security issue as far as I'm concerned. Those tunnels are a national security issue as far as I'm concerned. I'm taking that armor and taking those weapons all the way around African Town Bridge is not a good option. So we have got to work to get that bridge up. We've got to work to find a way that the locals do not have to pay a fee. I don't want a toll, period. Doesn't mean I'm going to get my way, but I'm going to fight for no toll on that bridge, period. And keep that, especially the Wallace Tunnel, open. That is for local traffic. That's the deal we made several years ago. I've been fighting the bridge issue for 14 years. It is nothing new to me, but we have got to keep that tunnel open. National security is the issue.
Congress, we got to leave it there a little long, but thanks for hopping on this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Jeff. God bless you. And folks, please get out and vote. Please.
Jerry Carl, candidate for AL1, whatever AL1 looks like here in a few days. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Sam Roberts coming up in the next hour, in the 11 o'clock hour. Will Hampson, so stick around. That's coming up on this show. Let's see here. I named Texture Shipping Company or Tunnel Demolition Company gives figures a kickback to get rid of the tunnels. Interesting theory, but I don't think so. I think deep down he believes this is something that is a political positive, but he's declared himself to be a Montgomery guy now. I don't think he gets it. I mean, he wasn't around. He was in Washington, D.C., the last time we had this fight about the tunnels and the bridge, he wasn't here for that drama. I mean, I wasn't either, but I was close by in Huntsville. But I think he just totally missed it. Mommy issues. I suspect the Supreme Court will overturn the lower court, allowing Alabama to disenfranchise minorities. National Republicans are losing ground daily. I guess the question will be, was it worth the cost? I foresee Republicans losing both the House and the Senate. I think they'll lose the House for sure, mommy issues. I do think the Supreme Court will toss this temporary or preliminary injunction. There's no repercussions for them. They're just going to make, at this point, that three-judge panel does not care if their decisions are tossed out. They're becoming like the Ninth Circuit or something in the 1990s and 2000s. They just don't care. They're going to be radicals, I guess. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.